This is Central Time. Right now, we take our weekly look at news from around the state. Milwaukee is throwing its hat in the ring to host the next Democratic National Convention. Incentives for paper company Kimberly-Clark are making their way through the legislature, and some Wisconsin women will be coming back from South Korea with Olympic gold. Robert Mentzer is a statewide living and storytelling editor for USA Today Network Wisconsin. He is based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thanks. Good to be here.
Well, at a press conference earlier this week, Rob, some prominent Milwaukeeans announced they'd be bidding to bring the Democratic National Convention to the city in 2020. So who's lining up as part of this effort?
Well, I mean, we got the mayor of Milwaukee, the Chamber of Commerce, the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association, all these groups, and really, I mean, you know, there's a sort of political dimension to this pitch for sure. Wisconsin's role as a on the national political landscape, but also, I mean, you know, Milwaukee is a city where people live and businesses operate, and they it would be very, very good for business to land a major convention like that. So there's a pure economics reason to for these business leaders to want to make the pitch as well.
Let's give a listen to Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett talking about this pitch to bring the convention to the city.
And as the mayor of the city, I would be happy to do it for the Democrats, and I would be happy to do it for the Republicans. The reason I would be happy is what they have in common, for all of their ideological differences, they spend money in the local community. And that's what many of us are interested in. The color we're looking at is green.
Red state, blue state, forget about it, green. And conventions like this, Rob, I mean, yes, there's a lot of politics and a lot of bunting and balloons. They bring in a lot of money sometimes to the cities they go to.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at something like 50,000 people come to the city. The organizers say that the estimates are something like a $200 million economic impact. We should always take those numbers with a grain of salt, but, like, it's a big number. People are eating in restaurants and, like, whatever, taking Ubers. The economic impact is definitely real.
Looking at the political side of things, Rob, there were accusations against the Hillary Clinton campaign in part that, hey, you didn't pay enough attention to Wisconsin, and look, the Democrats lost it in the presidential election. Is that going to be something on the mind, you think, of decision makers?
Right. Well, I mean, I feel like we're likely to see a Democratic candidate in a general election in 2020. In 2016, for what it's worth, the Democrats had their convention in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, which is a state where Hillary Clinton campaigned a lot, and also a state like Wisconsin that was a very, very narrow loss for the Democratic candidate. But, I mean, this is a thing, you know, political parties try to game this to the extent that they can, hold a convention in a place where they need a political boost. Wisconsin is a swing state. So, you know, Wisconsin has as good a claim as any to the convention. But it depends on, you know, you don't know what politics are going to look like in a couple years, right? We'll see how it depends on how the midterms go and whether this sort of upper Midwest area that was so decisive in 2016 is seen as the same, you know, as important of a swing area in the 2020 race.
I don't know when they make decisions like this. Do you have any idea, Rob, when they might announce where one of these political conventions might be?
Oh, that is a great question. I don't know, but they got to do it a year in advance, right? I mean, it has to be. They say that Milwaukee is the first city to declare to openly sort of campaign for this, but other cities that are sort of like floating out there mentioned are St. Louis, Atlanta, Columbus, Phoenix, Arizona, and Miami, Florida. So those are, you know, you get a spectrum of those are some areas that could be swingy or could be possible, you know, on the map for Democratic hopefuls. You know, we'll see. I'm from Milwaukee. Why not? It seems like fun to me.
I want to turn to another national issue coming to Wisconsin. This one, threats to Wisconsin schools after last week's school shooting in Florida. A lot of threats to Wisconsin schools, many of them, it turns out, I understand, not credible threats. But where are some of the places we've seen these reports, Rob?
Right. It was really strange. striking. I mean, it was really quite, it was really just a huge number of these incidents reported. You know, there's a spectrum. There were reports that someone saw some threatening graffiti in Germantown, which turned out to be nothing, nothing credible. In Tomahawk, police said that a student, someone who had recently graduated from the high school, had posted a threat online. The weirdest one reported was in Wisconsin Rapids, where a woman called police with a false report of a gunman at the high school, according to police, because her friends had been caught shoplifting and she wanted to distract the police from that.
Wow. I hadn't heard about that one. So, but
yeah,
obviously, police are going to be taking these incidents very seriously after what happened in Florida last week. They're not going to just dismiss them.
Yeah, and this is, this is part of what makes it interesting, or why, you know, partly because I work for a news organization that is in over a dozen communities, I was just seeing these stories over and over. And yes, none of these incidents individually turn out to be a big deal. God forbid that they would. But I mean, you can imagine if you're the parent of a kid who goes to one of these schools, how unsettling it would feel just to see that rumors were circulating, or just to see that there was some police response. And it shows the way that we are really all sort of on edge, or just in some sense, we are all living with the ripple effects of the school shooting in Florida and the history of school shootings that we've seen in the last few years.
We're talking to Rob Mentzer from USA Today Network Wisconsin, looking at some of the top news stories from around Wisconsin. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Robert Mentzer is bringing us up to date on some of the top stories from around the state. He's a statewide living and storytelling editor for USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. And Rob, yesterday the state assembly passed legislation that would offer an incentive package to paper company Kimberly-Clark, trying to get them to reverse their decision on closing a couple of plants in the Fox Valley area. What's in this package?
Right, it's modeled after some of the state's incentives to Foxconn, in fact, and it's a bunch of tax credits. It would account for 17% of wages for many of the workers, plus 15% of the cost to any upgrades to the plants. It seems like it's hard to estimate exactly what this would end up costing the state, but at least an estimate is that it could be in the neighborhood of $100 million. It's a little bit of a Hail Mary pass, and I think that the legislators who have framed this acknowledge as much. But they're looking at the loss of 600 jobs in the Fox Valley area from these two Kimberly-Clark plants. So this is the idea, is the hope that this might give the company a reason to reconsider.
As I mentioned, it's through the assembly. The governor says he expects it to pass the Senate as well. But it's getting pushback, Rob, from right and left in some cases. Some conservative political groups have been critical. What are they taking issue with?
Right. Well, I mean, this is not free market principles, right? I mean, there's a sense in which this is legislators responding to, a specific case and offering these deals in to try to preserve this one specific company, as opposed to creating the conditions for broadly shared economic growth. And there's certainly truth to that. That is what is going on. The question is, is it sort of points to the difference or the tension between, if you're a guy at a right-wing think tank, you can write a paper. But if you're an elected leader, this is a huge number of jobs in these folks' districts, and they have a reason to, their constituents want them to do something. That's what they're saying.
And then U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, a Democrat, is saying she's puzzled by the incentive package. What's she bringing up?
Well, so Tammy Baldwin held a roundtable event with a bunch of workers from the plant last Friday, and they talked about feeling totally blindsided by the announcement. In part because the facility is very successful. It was understood to be very successful within the company. A worker said that it was the most profitable plant of 90-some plants within Kimberly-Clark. I can't verify that, but that was the that's the way that they understood. They took as a point of pride that they were doing well at their jobs, and so they feel like blindsided. That is the word.
And lastly, Rob, the U.S. women's hockey team beat Canada in a shootout for the gold medal on Wednesday, breaking the Canadian streak of three straight Olympic gold medals. Here's one of the highlights, Madison native Amanda Kessel scoring in the shootout.
Amanda Kessel for the United States. Zabados cuts down the angle. Kessel scores!
And there's a whole lot of Wisconsin on the ice in this game, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, and a bunch of former Badgers on the U.S. team. We had Hillary Knight, Megan Duggan, Brianna Decker, and Alex Rigsby all were former University of Wisconsin players. Yeah, it was very. I understand it was a very exciting game.
And a lot of Canadians with UW Badger experience too.
Yeah, I mean, this is right. Exactly. On the other side of the ice, there were five Badgers or former Badgers on the Canadian side. So, you know, we congratulate them on a job done as well. I guess, it was University of Wisconsin wins either way. But I'm still glad the U.S. won.
And the Wisconsin Badger women's hockey team currently ranked number one in the country. And they're, you know, they're typically there or in that neighborhood. So we've got a pretty strong women's hockey program going on here in Wisconsin.
As we should, right? I mean, we have to deal with these frozen lakes all half a year. What else can you do? You got to get out and go skating.
And Rob,
and I'm just glad it's not Minnesota. I want, you know, I don't know how many Gophers there were on that team, but I don't want to hear about it.
A lot. I keep seeing reports about this being the Minnesota Olympic team in many ways too. But Rob, did you, as the Olympics wrap up, were you a big Olympics watcher this time around?
So I love the Olympics, and I feel like in 2018, I have optimized the best way to watch the Olympics, which is just to, like, you can just see what happens on clips on Twitter. You don't have to spend your time sitting in front of the TV. All the good things I end up seeing very easily on the internet the next day.
Well, my kids have had the TV on, at least in the background with the Olympics, pretty much every moment we're home. Well, Rob, thanks a lot for joining us today. Gold medal today for you.
Thank you.
That's Robert Metzer, statewide living and storytelling editor for USA Today Network Wisconsin. Join us for a weekly roundup of Wisconsin news.